Well, a desire and interest in your prayers this morning. I'm reminded of a verse that the psalmist said, I believe, that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And there are times that we need to have something to fall back on, to encourage ourselves when things are not going maybe the way we would like for them to go. And one of the ways that we do that is having a routine or something that we are determined not to allow to slip through the cracks. You know, we can be so discouraged that we don't feel like it's worth praying or reading the scripture. But that's exactly what we need to do. All right? Even if when we read it, it doesn't just give us this burst of inspiration, or maybe it doesn't just specifically speak to our dilemma at hand, we need to do it anyway. And I've something that was said to me over the course of this past week has been my inspiration that the thought has developed into for this morning. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves of what we're doing, where we want to go, and why we want to go there. Think of the little book that we read to our children and was read to me as a little child too, about the little engine that could. And the little engine that could kept reminding himself, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, until he got over the top of the hill, and then he said, I thought I could. Remember that little book? So I'm reminded of a motto. I've been to several, I was never part of the FFA when I was in school, but I've been to several other meetings since my boys were in school. And their motto is learning to do, doing to learn, earning to live, and living to serve. And I wonder sometimes if we don't need to have a motto for our own selves and for us as a congregation. Something like learning to do, doing to learn, learning to live, and living to serve. And then they have a salute. I think that's what they would call this, that they all say in unison, and I'm not trying to instigate a new practice here, but I wonder sometimes if it wouldn't do us some good if we had something we said together to remind us why we're here. So the FFA says this at every meeting, and they really encourage the members to memorize this and be able to say it all together in unison. And it goes like this. Why are we here? To practice brotherhood, honor agriculture opportunities and responsibilities, and to develop those qualities of leadership which an FFA member should possess. Now, when you have a large crowd, if there's 100 people in the assembly, FFA members, and they're all saying that together, it makes an impact. It's not just a motto that's posted over the door that says something. So I thought, you know, maybe we ought to adapt that a little bit to us and ask ourselves a question, and maybe repeat this. please don't take this as something we have to do, but I wonder sometimes if maybe we shouldn't have something like this. Why are we here? To practice brotherhood, honor spiritual opportunities and responsibilities, and to develop those qualities of leadership which a genuine Christian should possess. Isn't that why we're here? Well, we ought to be here to honor the spiritual opportunities and responsibilities and to develop the qualities of leadership which a genuine Christian should possess. Isn't that reason we're here? Are we just here to hear somebody say, oh, Jesus loves you? And He does, folks. He does love us. He cares about our troubles. But we're here for something more than just to hear that Sunday after Sunday. We ought to hear it on a regular basis that the Lord loves us and He cares about our troubles. But we have another purpose. The Lord wants us to be equipped. He wants us to be prepared to honor the spiritual opportunities and responsibilities that are out there in this world, in this life that we live in. I want to go to heaven. I want to meet the Lord in peace. I want to be faithful at my post of duty. And I want to have the qualities of leadership that a genuine Christian should possess. Isn't that, shouldn't that be the trademark, the icon of the Church of God? The Church of God is more than just a few words on a sign. It's more than maybe the name on the building. The Church of God is something that should be living and dwelling in our hearts. And we ought to have why are we here? We ought to be here to cultivate those things that would make us a genuine Christian, one that would have an impact in the world. If we're only coming to try to unload some of our baggage and only coming to try to rise above the dilemma that's crushing us down, we never can lead someone else to the Lord. We need to be in a place where we can lead others to a place of restoration. So I'd like to go on to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. We want to read several scriptures, and some of them are very, very familiar to you, so bear with us if you heard it the umpteenth time. But over here in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and the 13th verse, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The whole duty of man is not to just bring our troubles to the Lord, but it's to fear God and to keep His commandments. And there's a whole lot to keeping His commandments. There's a whole lot to living a life that is really approved and accepted of the Lord. So he says here, the whole duty, the conclusion of the whole matter, the whole duty is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's what our responsibility is. Why are we here? We're here to learn how to keep His commandments, to fill the spot that He wants us to fill. And in Micah 6 and 8, I want to turn there and read what he says there through the prophet to us. He says, He has shewed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. This is going beyond bringing my baggage, and by all means, may we all bring our baggage to the Lord. But it going beyond that, he says here, He shewed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So we have a responsibility to walk with the Lord, to keep His commandments, to be reliable, consistent material at His disposal, if you will, to do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. In Galatians, the third chapter, let's go there. And we're going to talk a little bit about practicing brotherhood. In Galatians, the third chapter and the 27th verse, he says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So if you've came to the place that you've experienced salvation, you've been baptized as a testimony that the old man is dead and that you're walking in the newness of life, he said, you have put on Christ. Yes. At least by profession you have. But what have we put on? He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male or female, for ye are all one in Christ. So, going back to our salute, why are we here? To practice brotherhood. What is this brotherhood? It's a brotherhood that does not differentiate between what your background is. Whether you're a Jew or a Greek, whether you're a bond or free, whether you're male or female. One of our objectives to be in here, in this meeting place, in this congregation, in the church of God, is to cultivate an atmosphere of practicing brotherhood, where we are all equal in His sight. We are all redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We brought our baggage to the Lord and He forgave us of our sins. He washed us clean and now we can be brothers and sisters to one another. And we want to practice that. We don't want to say, well, but you know where they come from. Well, you know what they think they are. Are all of the, no, we are our salute, are the thing that we need to remind ourselves of consistently is we're here to practice brotherhood. We're in this together. We've been adopted. We're a child of the King. We're all in the same family. We're to practice brotherhood. All right? So let's go on to Romans, the 8th chapter. And notice what, that's where it talks about being adopted. We're talking about practicing brotherhood here. In the 8th chapter of Romans, starting in the 14th verse, he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." If we brought our baggage, we brought all of our hurts and our disappointments and everything that was going on in our life, we brought them to the Lord and said, "Lord, I'm sorry for everything I've done wrong. Couldn't you help me and deliver me out of my problems?" And He did that. Didn't He do that for you? Yes. When you brought your rubbish to Him, didn't He give you something else much better than that? He says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." I am so glad that we have the opportunity to claim God, the creation, the creator of the whole universe, as our Father. And he says here, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Why are we here? To practice brotherhood. Did you know it takes practice sometimes to be brothers? It takes practice, I'm not an accomplished musician and I'm not accomplished in a lot of things, but I know this, to be accomplished at those things, you have to practice. I learned to play the guitar a little bit as a young man. And I never took any lessons, but my brother did. So every time he would come home from some guitar lessons, I'd say, "Okay, now you got to show me what the teacher said, showed you." And Anyway, he could show me what the teacher showed him, but if I didn't practice it, it didn't do me any good. You know, we can come here and we can hear the message about us being delivered from our past and our sins being cast as far as the east is from the west and the Lord not remembering anymore, but we remember. We remember where you come from. We remember what kind of life you was. We remember how haughty you was and how arrogant you were and all of those kind of things. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to practice it. You know, and when we start practicing something, it don't always work out real smooth. The first time you tried to make a G chord on the guitar and strum it, I'm sure that there was some kind of dead strings. It was for me. And for you to be able to make that chord ring on that instrument, it took practice. And to be able to transition from a G chord to a C chord, it's a whole different hand position. And when you go to change that, it's not always so smooth. You know, the first time you do that, your strumming probably stops. And you know, when we come in here and we're trying to practice brotherhood, there's going to be some halting. There's going to be some faltering, but that doesn't mean we have to stop. It means that we need to just practice some more. Remember that Jesus has redeemed everyone that has come to Him and asked for forgiveness. When someone has come to the Lord and repented of their sins and has a testimony of salvation and is endeavoring to put on Christ that we read earlier there, then we need to start practicing brotherhood. Why are we here? One of the main things is to practice brotherhood. Doesn't matter that I'm twice as old as somebody else, or you're twice as old as me, or you're more experienced and all that kind of stuff. Lord, help us to practice brotherhood. All right? So let's move on a little bit more. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the 10th verse. Says here, now I beseech you, brethren, remember we're here to practice brotherhood, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, one of the most catastrophic things that can happen in a family is for there to be disharmony in the family. The most hurtful things that a person can ever experience is when brothers don't act like brothers. And when they don't want to get along, and when they don't like one another, and if one of them shows up, the other one will stay away, and all of those kind, that's a terrible, painful situation. Lord, help us to know how to begin this practice of practicing brotherhood. There being no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. I want us to remember, why are we here? To practice brotherhood. To be an example of the believers. And to be able to practice this brotherhood amongst us, to where others looking on can say, they're like a family. They operate like a family. So why are we here? To practice brotherhood. That's one of the things. And then I'd like to move on to Romans, the 12th chapter. I want to talk about honoring spiritual opportunities and responsibilities. In Romans, the 12th chapter, we have the first two verses here we're going to read. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice he starts out the verse by saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Remember, we're here to practice brotherhood. And he says, I'm talking to the brethren now. I'm talking to those that are actively practicing brotherhood in an assembly, in a body of people that are not only willing, but desirous to worship together. All right? Brotherhood. He says, I'm writing to you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I want us to realize today that when we come to an experience of salvation, and we come to the place that we're endeavoring to put on Christ, we're endeavoring to practice brotherhood, that the Lord wants us to be willing to present our mortal capabilities as a sacrifice to our Heavenly Father. You know, mortal capabilities has to do, this is my definition, has to do with the talents and the abilities that God has blessed us with. Might be physical strength. It might be the ability to do certain things. I don't know what it is. It might be something that can go unnoticed by a lot of people, but yet it's a talent the Lord has blessed you with. It's by taking those things that you can do with these hands, with this mind, with these legs, with this voice, with these ears. And it's consecrating them to the Lord. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That you present your mortal capacities to me as a living sacrifice. You know, Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you can't see the kingdom. You know, until somebody has a real born again experience, they don't really see the church. They think they know what the church is, but they don't really see it until they are born again down in their hearts. And when they are born again, they can see the church. And when we come to the place we're willing to put our capabilities on the altar for the Lord. Lord, if you want to use them, here they are. And when that place comes, then we'll be able to see the opportunities and the responsibilities. But up until that, we just know that somebody does this and somebody does that, and somehow we have services and we don't understand how it all works. But I'm going to tell you, when you come to the place that you're willing to sacrifice your mortal capabilities, the opportunities for you to work for the Lord just begin to exponentially multiply on you. You're willing. You put that on the altar, so to speak, for the Lord. Lord, whatever you need out of me, I'm willing to do what you're asking of me. And when that happens, the Lord is going to start opening your understanding to how to work for Him. It may be with your hands. When you say, Lord, take them and use them as you will. It may be with your intellect. It may be your ability to write and communicate through that avenue. Just like we can't see the kingdom without being born again, we can't see the opportunities and the responsibilities without really coming to a place of willing to sacrifice. And not only can we not see them, but God really can't use us until we're willing. I think about those in the past that the Lord has used. And you know, the Lord couldn't have forced any of them to do what they did. But they came to the place they was willing for the Lord to use their abilities, their capabilities, the things that the God had blessed with them with in the beginning. But when we come to the place, we say, Lord, you can use this. So why are we here? To practice brotherhood. We're here to honor spiritual opportunities and responsibilities. In 1 Timothy, the 5th verse, or 5th chapter, we'll notice a few verses here in 1 Timothy 5. Beginning in verse 17, he says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." Did you know that sometimes those that are endeavoring to minister to us, those that are endeavoring to help us in one respect or another, many times they're the first ones that people want to accuse of something, and sometimes it's the easiest for people to believe or to accept. Well, I don't know what to. I never thought it would be like that, but the scripture tells us to not receive an accusation but by four, two or three witnesses. Lord, help us to have the right honor and respect for those that are endeavoring to work for the Lord. All right. Why are we here? Practice brotherhood. We're here to honor spiritual opportunities and responsibilities. Esteem them as something desirable. You know, we can look on at working for the Lord as something to avoid. It's going to interfere with my life. It's going to interfere with the things I want to do. Lord, help us to honor that. Okay? The other thing we're here for is to develop the qualities of leadership that a genuine Christian ought to have. Why are we here? We're here to develop that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And the 31st verse. It says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way." Covet earnestly the best gifts. We should be willing to cultivate the attributes in our individual lives that'll make us a good candidate for the gifts in the body of Christ. We should be willing to cultivate those attributes. I don't believe this verse is talking about being greedy when he says covet earnestly the best gifts. I don't believe that's what he's talking about. I think he's talking about us actively preparing for use in the kingdom of God. You know, it's one thing for somebody to come along and say, "Hey, do you have a tool?" I talk about tools a lot. And somebody comes, maybe calls me on the phone, or maybe sends me a text message, or sees me and has. I had a neighbor one time that said, "Would you have a post hole digger? You know, one of those with the handles on it." And I said, "Yeah, I think I've probably got two or three." He said, "Well, I just knew that if anybody had one, you would have one." I said, "Yes, I've got one." He said, "You're all about, you know, working and doing those kind of things." Well, it's one thing to just have something, and it's another thing to cultivate it. You know, I've got some things that I've inherited from my father. And some of those things I use and some of them I don't. I've got an old double tree hanging in my shop. I don't use it because I don't have a team. I don't plan on getting one, but I don't plan on getting rid of my double tree either. All right? And if somebody asked me, I'd say, yes, I've got one, but it's not because I went out and looked for it. It's because it just ended up in my possession. You know, the Lord wants us to cultivate the things that He can use. And not just go along. Yes, He's going to use the things that He naturally blesses us with. If He blesses you with good eyesight, then He's probably going to use that at some point. If He blesses you with good hearing or I don't know what it might be, but the Lord wants to utilize that. But Lord, help us to cultivate those things that He could use. If we can see good, if we can read good, then we ought to read. And not just read garbage, but read something that'll help us be more prepared so He can use it. If we all of us that have respectable hearing, we ought to listen. And when something is being communicated to us that will help us in our spiritual walk, we ought to pay attention and cultivate that to where the Lord can use it. It says here that we are, one of the things I'm telling you that we ought to remind ourselves, why are we here? We're here to develop the qualities of leadership. How are we going to ever be in a place that the Lord can put His finger on it and say, now's your time. Now's when I want you to do this for me. How are we ever going to be there if we don't cultivate the things that make us prepared? We've got to practice brotherhood. We've got to honor the spiritual opportunities and responsibilities. And we need to develop the qualities of leadership that'll make us a genuine Christian. He says here, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew unto you a more excellent way. Oh Lord, help us to be willing to cultivate the things that God can use. Lord, help us to cultivate the things that would be an asset to His kingdom. Meekness, temperance. What does the scripture say? Against such there is no law. We ought to cultivate that. We ought to make it grow really big in our life. We ought to cultivate those things that would make us desirable and usable in the Master's service. Why are we here? Yes, we are here. This altar is always open for people of broken hearts. And if you're here today and you have a broken heart and you're wanting to get on the right track with the Lord, this is the place to start. But that's not the place to stay. It's the place. Why are we here? It's to cultivate brotherhood. To practice it. It's to honor spiritual opportunities and responsibilities. We are here today to develop the qualities of leadership that'll make us a genuine Christian. Not somebody with the little fish emblem on the tailgate, but somebody that's got the real goods on hands. Someone that when people cross us and people say negative things about us, we don't fly off the handle and act ugly. No, we need to cultivate the meekness and the temperance and the kindness that other people would have to say. There's one thing you got to say about those people. They got something. Lord, help us to... Some of it takes practice, I understand. The Lord can help us with those things. And He wants to help us. He wants us to grow and mature. He wants us to be responsible. He wants us to be able to take places of leadership in spiritual things. He wants every one of us to be in that place. And Lord, help us to cultivate the things that will make us desirable for the Lord. I desire your prayers. I want to cultivate the things that will make me useful in the Lord's kingdom. I don't want to fail. I don't want to fail. I don't want you to fail. I want us as a little body of people here to prosper and remember, why are we here? Why are we here? It's to practice brotherhood, honor spiritual opportunities and responsibilities, and to develop those qualities of leadership which a genuine Christian should possess. You pray for me.